You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to a Friday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. Thanks for listening and subscribing. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here with David Ramil. Happy Friday morning, everybody. It's time to guess the record as we do at the end of every week here. But before we get to that, I wanted to answer this question from Taylor Rooster Monk, who writes in, has this recent run been legit, or is it fool's gold? David, I kind of went in, I dug into this. I have some numbers for you that I think are pretty surprising. Are you ready for this?
Sure, as ready as I'll ever be.
So this recent run that Taylor's talking about, you can kind of look at it as one of two ways, right? Either the Heat have, or actually one of three ways. Either the Heat have won three straight, or they've won 8 of their last 10, or they've won 9 of their last 12. I went with 9 of the last 12 because okay. That's when they beat the Warriors on February 27th. I feel like that's when things start clicking into place. Like, they lost to the Rockets in the next game, but in a really close competitive game. Yeah. So I still feel like they had been playing well since that Warriors game. So 9 of the last 12. In the last 12 games, David, the Heat have the fourth best offensive rating in the NBA, scoring 113 points per 100 possessions. They have the 10th best defensive rating in the league, allowing 106.7 points per 100 possessions, but over the last week, that's gotten even better. They are allowing 102.3 points per 100 possessions. So the defense is getting better, but for the most part, for this 12-game stretch, they've been doing with offense and a top 10 defense at the same time, even though the defense has been a notch worse than it had been for the rest of the season. They also, that's good for the third best net rating in the league. They're outscoring teams by 6.2 points per 100 possessions, which is really, really good considering that the Heat have been either a negative net rating team or a neutral net rating team for most of the season. That's a huge leap. So to go to Taylor's question here about whether it's legit or is it fool's gold, one number stands out to me more than anything else, and that's the fact that the Heat are the best team, number one, in three-point percentage over the last 12 games. And it's and they're there by like a full percentage almost. They're making 40.5% of their threes in the last 12 games, David. That's insane. Like, that's ridiculous. Yeah, that's really it. Third most open shots in the league behind Golden State and Detroit. And to put that three-point percentage number in a little bit more context, they were 20th in the league in three-point percentage before this run started.
How much of that is Goran Dragic shooting 70% from three?
You really do watch the Heat, because Goran Dragic is kind of the impetus of this whole thing. He went 4 of 7 against the Warriors, 4 of 7 from 3-point range against the Warriors, and has been hot ever since. And so I think a lot of it is Goran Dragic, and that's exactly where I was going with this.
Huh? Sorry, I don't know if that.
No,
was
you
the
nailed it. That's why. You want it. All right. That's why we're the experts here.
All right. So I mean, is it legit or is it fool's gold? I'd have to say it's legit. To be honest with you, I think it's the template for success that is sustainable, I think, because look, if Goran is hurt, then sure, that goes out the window. But the reality is, at this point, shooting as well as he is, as healthy as he is, as refreshed as he is, a point that you've made recently, that he looks, you know, having sat out 40-some games, he looks much fresher than most of the guys who have been there all season long. And because his conditioning was always so high level, I don't think it's had a significant drop-off in that regard. So he just looks like he's more energized than everybody else there. He's able to push the pace. He's able to have his legs under them. And he's not even playing a whole heck of a lot of minutes. He's just very efficient with his scoring when he is in the lineup. So I think that helps a lot too. But as far as the defense is concerned, I think that's a staple of this team. And I think that's been problematic throughout the course of the season at times. But I think with this rotation being somewhat cemented, it seems like this is the lineup that we're going to be rolling out over the next 10 games and into the playoffs should this team advance into the postseason. And I think that's a good start for what they could possibly do. I mean, to be honest with you, they beat quality teams. I wonder if Taylor means beyond this season, or if it's the foundation of something that they can build on even next year, or is it just legitimate enough to potentially win games in the postseason? So
Is it legit enough to make this playoff run and then, yeah, make some noise in the playoffs? I don't know.
I mean, they've beaten consistently good teams. Look, you pointed out, look, the Houston loss, that was the next night an away game after having beat the Golden State Warriors the day before. That's not easy to do, right? I mean, that's an impossible back-to-back matchup. I think we projected that they would lose both games, that they split them with a win over Golden State, even if, you know, albeit on a big shot from Dwayne Wade at the buzzer, you know, that's still an impressive win. But they've beaten the other teams that they were supposed to have beaten, Brooklyn, Atlanta, Charlotte twice. I mean, Cleveland, Toronto was the only really bad loss there, and Milwaukee, I think. Those were the two bad losses. And Toronto and Milwaukee are both the top of the Eastern Conference. Now, at that time, Milwaukee, I think, still hadn't faced any kind of injury issues. But now they're without Brogdon. They're without Nikola Mirotic, I think, moving forward, at least as soon as they get into the postseason. So if you're looking at this team matching up with Milwaukee potentially in the first round of the playoffs, I like Miami having somewhat of an edge. I don't know that it's enough to really knock off Milwaukee completely.
The one reason I'll say that this is not sustainable. Look, I and it's not to say that it's not legit. The Heat are playing really well, and they are earning their shots, right? And you'll hear coaches talk about, like, well, you know, shots fall, and sometimes it falls, sometimes it doesn't. But a lot of times, like, if you put the work in, shots start to fall, and they're putting the work in. They're playing well. Things are clicking into place here in this final stretch. But the one reason I'll say it's this level of play where they're beating teams like the Warriors and the Thunder, teams that they really don't have any business beating.
Yeah.
It's a little fool's gold. And I'll say that because, yeah, Dragic has looked good, but he's not going to. Over the last 12 games, he's 25 of 47. He's shooting 53% from 3-point range. Okay, that's a hot streak. That's going to happen, so that's fine. But Deion Waiters is shooting 39.7%, almost 40% from 3-point range. That's not sustainable. That's way below, above his career average.
He's getting open looks, though. I mean,
can we agree that that's way above his average, and that's not
sure.
Like, even if he keeps getting open looks, he's not going to shoot 40%.
Yeah, that's fine.
Kelly Olynyk, 46.5%.
Okay, that's a little atypical. But I mean,
Justice Winslow, 43% in the 9 games he's played. Dwayne Wade, 12 of 30, 40% from him. Rodney Magruder found his stroke at 41.4%. He's hot and cold, but he's played 10 games during this stretch. I just think that you're kind of getting a bunch of hot streaks all together at once, and you could look at that as, okay, the Heat are getting lucky here. It's very 30-11-ish right now with everybody just hitting shots, but the same way that 30-11 stretch happened, things just seem to be clicking. They seem to be entering a groove. The ball movement was great. They were getting good looks. But again, like, we saw what happened after that 30-11 stretch. It fell off. It was not sustainable after that season. They didn't make the playoffs. But
we're
not
talking about next season, right? Are we talking about the playoffs?
I guess. I don't know. I don't think that in a playoff setting, I don't see all these guys. I don't see Waiter shooting 40%, Olynyk shooting 46%, Dragic shooting 53%. Like, so for that, it's unsustainable. But I don't think that's really, it might be Taylor's point. I don't think it is the overall point. I think what the big takeaway from this is, the Heat are playing really well and they figured out something that works. And every once in a while, just like every team, they're going to hit hot streaks and they're going to win a bunch of games that way.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to say, I'm calling my shot. If they make it, they're upsetting the books.
Holy smokes. Are you sure you don't want to retract that?
No, I don't. You know why? You just made a point right now. We haven't seen Deion Waiters in the playoffs in a long time. He is built for the playoffs. I think he's ready. He's going to take his game to another level here. And I think, last time he was in the playoffs, wasn't he in Oklahoma City?
Yep.
I mean, and he was phenomenal.
He wasn't Giannis good. Like, you know, Giannis is still on the Bucks, right?
Yeah, like, I'm not too worried about it. He's going to get his points, but everybody else is not. And I think that's the strength of Miami's team. I think Miami can allow Giannis and still make things difficult for him. Let's be honest. They're going to still make things difficult for him. Maybe he'll get 20 free throws per game. That's fine. But at the same time, I like Miami's defense. I like their ability to knock down shots. I like their ability to shot create. I think if they can incorporate Justice back seamlessly, and that's a big if.
I don't think it's a big if.
I think it is. I think it is. I think after missing a handful of games here where they've been in a hot streak, I think it could be. I think it could be.
He's only missed 3 of the 9 games they've won.
Yeah, I know. I get it. And those 3 have been victories. So, I mean, it just kind of speaks to how essential Justice is or isn't. I don't know. It was
They're 6-9 without Justice in the last 12 games. Or with justice. With justice.
Okay. No, I don't know, man. I kind of feel that this team, and I can't discount. Like, I know it sounds so cliche, but I really do feel like Dwayne Wade just has. He's not going to leave anything left behind. Like, I could see him like killing himself out on that floor just to try and get a loose rebound. Because what's he playing for? There are no tomorrows after this. It's like as far as you can go this season, and that's it. So why not just? If he has to, like, go and exert every last bit of energy. And come on. This is Dwayne Wade we're talking about. One of the greatest players in NBA history. You don't think he kind of has a little bit left in there? A little extra to go at Chris Middleton and kind of teach him who the best shooting guard on the floor is? At least that's how I see it.
That's definitely how you see it. I can't get there with you, man. I can't get... Like, I love the sales pitch. I do. Like, great job, but... I'm not there yet, and I don't think I'm going to get there. But let's go to guess the record, because you know what? The Heat play the Bucks tonight, and we'll get a good litmus test for what you're saying. Let's do that after the break. All right, it's time for Guess the Record, that thing we do here every Friday, and it starts. Our week starts tonight, Friday, against Milwaukee in Milwaukee. The last time that these teams played... was last Friday, actually, March 15th. The Heat lost 113-98. And Milwaukee came back from a 20-point deficit at halftime. David, does Miami's ownership over the Bucks start tonight?
Yes, it does. Why not? Nobody's going to hold a prediction
I literally hold the prediction I get to you every week. And that reminds me, I forgot the update. With three more weeks left, we tied last week. We actually did pretty... We only got one game wrong, so I thought that was pretty good.
Which game did we predict that we would win? San Antonio?
No, that's the one we got wrong, I think. Hold on. I've got it right here. We both predicted Charlotte correctly, right?
Yes.
We both predicted Oklahoma City correctly, yeah. And then San Antonio, we both predicted...
We thought they'd beat Oklahoma City?
No, that's the wrong one, right? So we both thought that they'd beat San Antonio... We both thought that they would lose to Oklahoma City. They won against Oklahoma City. That's so OKC was the one we got wrong. But so here's the thing. So we tied last week, which still gives me a plus 1 week advantage.
Yes.
Because I entered last week. So you kind of, I don't know. You said you had some sort of weird strategy. I don't know what it is, but you only got three more weeks left to unveil it, David. Three more weeks left. And it starts today.
I got nothing left in the tank, man. I'm predicting a win against Milwaukee tonight. I think.
Okay.
I think their road trip kind of has helped cement this team. They're kind of building something, and I think the Bucks can be gotten a little bit because of the injuries and kind of having some issues there. And I think Miami can come in at just the right time and kind of capture that fire a little bit, and we'll see. I mean, I think it'll work. I mean, it sucks without Justice, although we have not heard whether or not he's going to be in the lineup or not. If he's available to play, that's obviously a big plus, because then you can have him as an additional body to throw at Giannis and at Middleton, et cetera, to make things difficult for them. So I wonder how it'll work out. But
so the one thing that the Heat could take advantage of here is that the Bucks are still sort of figuring things out post Malcolm Brogdon and post Nikola Mirotic being out, right?
Correct.
So they're still in this little transitional phase of, okay, what's our starting unit going to look like? How do we replace Mirotic's minutes off the bench? It's hopefully not going to be Pau Gasol for them. I guess hopefully for you. But I think we maybe make a little too much of that December game. I think we make a little bit. It was kind of that Christmas vacation weekend thing. Like, weird stuff happens in that kind of... that week of Christmas. Yeah, the Heat had a 20-point lead at halftime. But, like, Milwaukee, if you paid attention to them, this has kind of been their MO all season. They fall behind and then just kind of come back. So what the Heat did to Milwaukee by halftime of last Friday's game wasn't rare for the Bucks. Like, they come back routinely from games like that. But they did just lose a game against Cleveland, right? Like, they just lost to Cleveland Wednesday night or Tuesday night or something.
Yes.
Are they really going to drop another game like that? Maybe that, again, is sort of like this transitional phase. They're trying to figure things out without Brogdon and Mirotic. Those guys were really important for them, especially Brogdon. But I can't get... I should go with a win here, because you went with a win, and I can't lose. But I'm going to go with a loss here out of, like, just the spirit of competition. I'm going to go that the Heat lose this game tonight against the Bucks. But, look, based on everything that's happening with Milwaukee right now and how the Heat are trending, I wouldn't be shocked if they won this game, and I might regret just not taking the W here. Not just literally, but, like, in this competition, I could have just easily tied you on this. But for now on, I'm going to go first with my win-loss prediction because I think that's fair. Right?
Sure.
Because I could just match you if you go first.
Doesn't matter.
I don't care.
No. I'm independent thinker. I do what I want.
Okay. Saturday at Washington, the Heat. This is their second back-to-back set since last week, and their second-to-last back-to-back set for the rest of the season. So after this Washington game, David, just one more back-to-back game for the rest of the year, which was still a lot for like the last 20 games, but getting it out of the way, one of them out of the way now. The last time that the Heat played the Wizards was on January 4th. The Heat beat them 115-109. Whiteside had 21 points and 18 rebounds. The Heat withstood 33 points from all-NBA guard Bradley Beal. The Heat are 2-1 against the Wizards this season. Do they make it 3-1 in the final meeting of the series?
I know. I think this one's a loss, actually. I think the high of beating
the Wizards. See what I did there, by the way? I just told you I'm going to go first on my win-loss prediction, and immediately after I said that, I was like, what do you think? And I didn't give my prediction on this.
Go ahead, give your prediction.
So you have that as a loss, I have it as a win.
Okay.
I don't care about the back-to-back set.
Not necessarily just the fact that it's a back-to-back, because, I mean, the Oklahoma City matchup was one that proved that it's not bothering them. But I think the high of beating Milwaukee the day before. Okay, either way, either they're high from beating Milwaukee or they're low from losing to Milwaukee, and they're not going to gear up for a Washington team that's not particularly good. So Jabari Parker playing at a pretty decent level from what I remember. Bradley Beal obviously playing at a pretty high level. He's not injured, right? I don't think.
No.
I heard. Oh, no, he had a nasty fall, but he got back up. He's fine. Okay.
There's not a lot of interesting Washington Wizards things to say. Like, Bradley Beal's really good. Nobody else is really that good. And, yeah, that's kind of it, right? Like, if Beal goes off for 33 again, like, I don't know if that's going to matter a whole lot. That's kind of been the whole thing with Washington since John Wall went down, is that Beal is playing out of his mind, but nobody else is really that good. And they can't really win games.
That sounds right. I mean, I could see why you would predict a win there. Maybe I'm just being a little difficult, but.
So, do you want to change it, or are you sticking
with
it?
No, I do not. No, I'm sticking with them.
So, let's move on to Tuesday versus Orlando. This is the Bosch retirement ceremony game. A lot of emotions going to be at play here. And as we know, David, we're around teams when things like this happen. It can kind of go either way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, again, against the Magic at home. The Heat are 1-2 against the Magic this season, but they did get the win, finally, in the last time these teams played on December 23rd. They beat the Magic 115-91. Tyler Johnson scored 20 of his 25 points in that third quarter. Spo got his 500th win of his career in that game, but they're not going to have Spo's 500th win to be playing for. Instead, I guess they're playing for Chris Bosh. I don't know. And they're not going to have Tyler Johnson anymore. So can the Heat get the win here?
Oh, I think you should give your...
Oh, you're right. Yeah, we got to stick with the plan here. I've got this as a win. Orlando is not good. I think they're going to be really motivated to try to one-up the Heat here during their retirement ceremony thing. We see teams do that all the time. Like, oh, you're going to celebrate today? Right. Like, all right, we're going to ruin this for you. I think that, like, I don't trust the Magic, and I really trust the Heat's infrastructure right now. Especially in this playoff push, it's going to be a really important game. Again, you know that Orlando has this game circled on their calendar. Like, okay, like, yeah, we've taken some L's lately, but we can really get back into this playoff push here with a win against Miami. Let's just take care of business in the couple of games before that, and let's really make sure that we're ready for this game. But still, I just, like, they could be ready all they want. I think Miami still gets the win here.
I mean, Orlando 6-4 over the last 10 games. I mean, they've had some nice wins here and there. I kind of think it's a loss, to be honest with you, for Miami. I think you're right about the emotions and the distraction of Chris Bosh there. I think it's hard for them to focus, and I think they can tend to overlook an opponent like Orlando. I'm curious to see how the Adebayo-Vucevic matchup plays out.
All right.
And Orlando's defense is pretty well. You know, they're a much better team than they were last year. And I wonder if Clifford can have them kind of geared up for this matchup there. You're right. I think they do have it circled, and I think they're realizing that it's an important opportunity for them, more so than Miami, who I think has gone, who can get a little comfortable at times there. So to me, I see this as a loss.
Thursday versus Dallas, the final game of our stretch here. The last time these teams played, February 13th, Miami got the win, 112-101. Wade put up 22 points in his final game in Dallas. This is the last game of the series here. I've got this as a win for the Heat. I think Dwayne Wade goes off again. I think he likes to play the Mavericks, always has. And I think Wade is just the hero again, and the Heat get the win here. A Dallas team that's been kind of scrappy lately.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I just think the Heat have so, like, during this time of the season, the Heat just have so much more to play for. I'm probably going to be wrong about one of these games, and they're going to view this Dallas game as we dropped that game against Orlando, we dropped that game against Washington, let's make up for it, let's really, like, kind of win this thing against Dallas because we own them.
Yeah, I think this is a win also, to be honest with you. I think you're probably right that they're looking at it as an opportunity to bounce back there if they drop either one to Washington or Orlando. And I just don't know that the Mavs are particularly good either. They got a lot of highlights from Luka Doncic and not much else. I mean, Tim Hardaway Jr. is not a great player. They've got some... They have a little fire to them occasionally, but by the third quarter, that kind of dies out because they're not really playing for anything. And they're aware of that, and I think that kind of hits hard a little bit. So I could see this as being a pretty big win for Miami.
Hopefully Justice is back here, because I like seeing Justice and Luka going at it. These two oversized point guards, it's just sort of fun to watch. Like
that was a good matchup last time.
Yeah, it was fun. All right, so that's it. Let's go to Jersey Swaps after this break. All right, Jersey Swaps, David. Dwayne Wade didn't do a whole bunch of them last week. DeMar DeRozan, that was the easiest thing to predict against the Spurs. Actually, the Spurs gave Dwayne Wade a signed Tony Parker, Tim Duncan, and Manu Ginobili jerseys, right? In a very nice gift box to go along with a video tribute. So really rolled out the red carpet there for Dwayne Wade. So that was really nice. We haven't really seen a whole lot of the gifts to Dwayne Wade. You've talked about, like, that was a big Kobe thing. Like, let's give Kobe, like, these drawings of him and stuff like that or whatever. And it hasn't really been like that. So I hope that we don't get carried away with that now. But the NBA is a copycat league, so who knows? Anyway, it was DeMar DeRozan against the Spurs. And then for that game against the Bucks last Friday, Ryan Shazier was in the audience, the Pittsburgh Steelers linebacker who's dealt with a lot of stuff over his career and life. And he was in the audience, and Dwayne Wade gave him the signed jersey there. Nobody against the Thunder. Nobody against the other team that the Heat played. Who was it? I'm already forgetting. Charlotte. Nobody against Charlotte because he already gave it to Kemba earlier in the year. So, Friday against Milwaukee. Anybody on the Bucks? Is Giannis ever going to get the jersey?
No, I don't think he wants it. I'm surprised he didn't give it to Middleton.
Well, Middleton already got it.
He did?
Didn't he?
I don't think so.
All right, I'm going to look that up. George Hill did. You're right. Okay, so maybe Middleton gets it now. It's in Milwaukee. And you've talked a lot about the importance of the home versus away games.
I could see Paul Gasol getting it.
Oh, God, that would suck.
Some mutual respect there for older players. I mean, Gasol's probably done after this year.
All right, so are you going with Gasol or Middleton?
I'm going to go with Gasol. All
right, I'll go with Middleton here.
Fair enough.
We should, like, award... I know there's only, like, 3 weeks left, but we should award, like, little half points for these or something. I don't know.
Ooh, bonus points.
Or, no, like, if it's tied at the end of the year, we can go back and use this as tiebreakers.
Okay, fair enough. He's probably going to give it to Pat Connaughton anyway.
Oh, why? Is there a connection there?
Not that I know of.
It's a Kevin Herter type thing?
No, he's from Notre Dame. I don't know what school
he went to. I hope not.
Who knows?
Saturday at Washington.
Oof.
I mean, Beal already got it. John Wall's not playing. Jabari Parker.
You know, you would have thought that, right? And it is at Washington, but why wouldn't he have done that at Chicago, where he could have given it to Jabari, who's the hometown guy?
Yeah. Did he give somebody the jersey in Chicago?
Yeah, Benny the Bull.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was the ultimate. Like Jabari is probably standing there like, all right, here's my moment. Yeah, and then like Dwayne Wade walks over to the mascot.
One tear dropping down his cheek as he gives it to Benny the Bull instead. I mean, come on.
Maybe
okay, former teammate Jeff Green. I could see that one.
Oof. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I forgot Jeff
Green. He's not giving it to Dwight. He's not giving it to Dwight, that's for sure.
I think this sounds like a game where somebody else is in the audience. You want to take an audience guess? I would have never guessed Ryan Shazier.
Barack Obama.
Ooh, that would be a good one. Obama's been... No, because he's going to be at March Madness games. Right? Obama's a big college basketball guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not giving it to Bobby Portis, right?
Did Trump do a bracket this year?
I don't think so.
Doesn't the president always do a bracket?
No.
Or ESPN always interviews them or whatever?
No, I think that was Barack Obama because it was Barack Obama and because he knew basketball. I don't think anybody wants the Donald's opinion on much, but certainly not on basketball.
He's got whichever team has the most Russians as his win seed. Oof. Khalil Mack got it from Chicago too once. So when the Heat played the Bulls, like their two games in Chicago, Khalil Mack, a non-basketball player, and
he was sitting in the audience and he was like, come here, Khalil, because you play for my Bears.
Yep.
You're getting my jersey. Wow. That's like a diss to everybody. No Rolo, no nobody.
Come on. Khalil doesn't even play for the Bears anymore. He plays for the Bears now. I'm sorry. The Raiders traded him to the Bears. But so he got to Benny the Bull and a football player.
Damn. That's cool.
So there's stuff happening here. So there's no way a Bulls player gets it because they're not playing the Bulls. They're also playing Washington. Why did we go down this Bulls route?
No, because Otto Porter got traded to the Bulls, and so they have a couple of Bulls, former Bulls players on the Washington roster.
Okay, so at Washington, I don't know. I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go ahead and say nobody on Washington gets it because that happens a lot. I'm going to go with nobody. I don't know if we're allowed to do that, but I'm going to go with nobody.
Yeah, I can't see anybody here that there's an immediate connection to. I mean, Jeff Green is as good as an option as any, and I don't think he's going to give it to Jeff, to be honest with you. So.
No, that would be an insult to basketball. All right. Let me just do one quick check on the roster. Were you looking at the roster?
I am looking at the roster.
Okay, and there's like nobody like...
Bobby Portis, his former teammate from the Bulls. I mean...
Oh, hell no. No way.
No Dwight way. Howard, Jeff Green, Sam Decker. I mean,
there could be a thing here where somebody asks for it. Sam Decker's from Wisconsin. That's kind of like Midwesty, right?
Sam Decker is not asking Dwayne Wade for his jersey.
You don't think so?
No, I think Sam Decker's asking Frank Kaminsky for his jersey.
Is that a racial thing?
I'm not saying it's not.
Tuesday versus Orlando. I mean, he already gave Bosch one jersey, right? He should have waited.
At the Orlando game, they gave it to Bosch?
No, but then Chris Bosh showed up for one of their games and he gave Chris Bosh that jersey. Like, would have been a good time to give Chris Bosh another jersey. Be like, hey, Chris Bosh takes a jersey off his back, puts it up in the rafters, metaphorically speaking. Dwayne Wade then bestows a signed jersey upon Chris Bosh. Like, that would have been a nice little, like, kind of bow on the whole thing. But
Has he exchanged jerseys with any Magic player?
Let's see.
The first game of the season was against Orlando. He did not do it.
No, Matt. Yeah. Nope. None.
And he was hurt against them last time I think they played.
So...
Vooch. It's got to be Vucevic. All-star Nikola Vucevic?
Yeah, maybe they like... I don't know, because Nikola Vucevic only talked to Nikola Jokic the entire All-Star weekend.
And that I can confirm. sorry, it was him, Dirk, and that's about it. There was definitely a European...
I'm sure Luka
Doncic.
Luka
Doncic. That's about it.
Orlando.
DJ Augustine. Aaron Gordon.
Any of these guys wore the number 3? Troy Capane from Cincinnati.
I don't even
Who's
know.
Who's he? He's a point guard. He's a 23-year-old point guard from Cincinnati. I think he's a two-way guy.
Deal. Yeah,
he's a two-way guy.
Sorry to say, I've been in that locker room. I have no idea who that is.
All right, you ready? Here's my guess. Isaiah Briscoe.
No.
I think he gets it. I'm going Isaiah Briscoe. You're going nobody?
Yeah, Isaiah Briscoe, who, interestingly enough, is listed in the team guide as cousins to Kyrie Irving, but isn't actually related to Kyrie Irving, and in fact hates being talked about as the cousin to Kyrie Irving.
Well, why is it listed there?
Hey, I think he was just using that information to, I guess, sound more interesting. I don't know. Then when he was asked about it, he kind of just said, he's not really my cousin. I just like look up to him. I was like, well, okay.
What? There's nobody actually asked for records of that?
It's your bio. I don't know that you actually need to show that. I mean,
I guess. But like also like, oh, you're cousins with Kyrie Irving? Can we ask one other person before we write this in your bio? Come on, Orlando. Yeah. Do better than that.
Markelle Fultz is on their roster now. Would he give it to Markelle?
Is he even at the games?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, well, you're at the games. You would see him there. I don't know, man.
Terrence Ross, that's a good one. That's a fun one.
So, who are you going? I'm going with Isaiah Briscoe anyway. I don't know why.
I'm going with Vucevic.
Okay,
you're going with Vucevic. There have been some good battles there. Vucevic is a good guy. Okay. I don't think anybody dislikes Nikola Vucevic.
Thursday versus Dallas. Did he give it to Dirk yet?
Yes, he did. In Dallas. That's what the whole
thing. In Dallas, that's right.
So this is his opportunity to give it to Luka in Miami.
Yeah, that's what happens. Yep. Luka gets it. Unless for some reason Dwayne Wade doesn't like Luka's game, and he was like, I'm more of a herder guy.
Or you could give it to Tim Hardaway twice in one season.
Ooh. That doesn't make sense, though. Unless Dwayne Wade really wants a Tim... Unless Dwayne Wade really wants a Tim Hardaway Dallas jersey.
Well, didn't Tim Hardaway Sr. play in Dallas for like a month or something like that? Like one really bad season towards the end of his career?
Has Tim Hardaway Sr. gotten a jersey yet?
I don't think so.
So he's in the audience for this game, right? Tim Hardaway Sr.'s got to be in the audience for this game.
Well, I mean, he's no longer a coach after Stan Van Gundy was fired, so I think he's kind of unemployed at this point.
Yeah.
He had a position with Miami at one point as a community liaison, I think.
He did. And I know he has a home in South Florida, I think. I don't know how current that is.
Sure. I mean, Tim Hardaway Jr. went to high school here. I mean.
Yeah. So I'm going to say Tim Hardaway Jr. is in the audience to see his boy, right?
Yes.
Play basketball. And Dwayne Wade does the right thing. Gives it to another Heat legend.
Okay.
Tim Hardaway Sr. Sorry, Luca. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they didn't establish a connection there. I know. Come on, dude. It's Luka Doncic. He loves his flair. But he's got to give it to him.
So you're going Luka. I'm going with off the grid. I'm Tim Hardaway Sr.
All right, fair enough.
All right, great. Well, that's all we got. So, that's the last show of the week. You can connect with us on Twitter at Lockdown Heat or email us at lockdownheat@gmail.com. Make sure to subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform, including Spotify and Himalaya, which is a really cool podcast app that we at the Lockdown Podcast Network just partnered with. Really intuitive, really awesome app. So go ahead and download it and follow Lockdown Heat and whatever other Lockdown podcasts that you listen to. Suggest Lockdown NBA because that's a good one, especially on Tuesdays. Rate, review, and say nice things about us. Check out the Patreon page for exclusive content that helps support the show. Thanks for spending this time with us today. We'll catch you next week. Thanks for joining me, David.
Tim Hardaway Jr. has really nasty feet, by the way. I don't know if you've seen those.
Oh, my God.